All right. Let's see. Announcements. We've got, what do we have? We got Christmas this week. Just, you know, another year Christmas. No Wednesday, no men's group Wednesday. So take a break on that. So that's no men's group. No men's group. Yeah, we'll have church Wednesday night, but no men's group in the morning. So, Luke chapter 2. Final sermon before Christmas 2018. I want to talk to you about Simeon tonight. Some of y'all, I mentioned, y'all were asking what are we preaching, what are we talking about tonight. It said Simeon, and some of y'all didn't know who he was. So this is a good opportunity to find out who he is. He may be the only man in the Bible, I mean, besides Jesus Christ, the only man in the Bible that understood what was going to happen with Jesus Christ, the death, burial, and resurrection. I'm going to show you some of his life. Luke chapter 2, verse 25. I want you to notice a couple things as we read this, First, notice how often the Holy Spirit or the Holy Ghost is mentioned in connection with the life of Simeon. And then we'll talk a little bit about his prophecy. And his life is it's completely wrapped up in seeing the consolation of Israel. And Luke chapter 2, verse 25. One of the fellows that's actually there when Jesus Christ is a baby, but he doesn't necessarily make the manger scene or anything like that. Luke chapter 2, verse 25, it says, "And behold, there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon. The same man was just and devout, waiting for the consolation of Israel, and the Holy Ghost was upon him. And it was revealed unto him by the Holy Ghost that he should not see death before he had seen the Lord's Christ. And he came by the Spirit into the temple, and when the parents brought in the child Jesus to do for him after the custom of the law, then took he up in his arms and blessed God and said, Lord, now lettest thou thy servant depart in peace according to thy word, for mine eyes have seen thy salvation." What an incredible thought. I mean, he sees Jesus Christ as a baby and he says, Lord, I have seen what I need to see now. I'm ready to go. I've seen what I need to see. Verse 31, "Which thou hast prepared before the face of all people, a light to lighten the Gentiles, and the glory of thy people Israel. And Joseph and his mother marveled at those things which were spoken of him. And Simeon blessed them, and said unto Mary his mother, Behold, this child is set for the fall and rising again of many in Israel, and for a sign which shall be spoken against. Yea, a sword shall pierce through thine own soul also, that the thoughts of many hearts may be revealed." That's what you know about Simeon right there. Let's pray. I'm going to give you a couple things about his life and his relationship with the Lord and his prophecy here. But let's pray. Father, thank you so much for your words. Lord, thank you for each soul that's here tonight. I pray you'd bless each soul for being here. Father, I pray that this morning, if there was anybody here that's not saved, I don't know. I wish some more folks were here that were invited, and Lord, but if there was anyone here that wasn't saved, Lord, I pray that you'd take those words and take the gospel and continue to use it in their hearts and in their minds, that they'd think about the things they need to think about in relation to their relationship with you and their need for Jesus Christ. Father, thank you for good day door knocking and tracks going out and visits being made. And Lord, I pray you'd make those fruitful as well. Father, thank you for the opportunity, the privilege to serve you. I pray we would get what we need from you tonight. And Lord, help me to say what you want said tonight. And I pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, Simeon. He's got quite a testimony. And I think if he understands, if his prophecy is what I think it is, he may be the only man in the Bible that understood what was going to happen with Jesus Christ. I want you to notice, first of all, I mentioned the Holy Ghost and the Holy Spirit and how many times that shows up in the first couple verses about Simeon. And we'll talk about that just for a second. Simeon and his life, just reading those verses, it was really, I don't know, it's convicting to me to read those verses and read about a man whose whole life, this is what he's waiting for, to see Jesus Christ. And when he finally sees him, he says, "Lord, you can take me home now. I've seen what I need to see. I am content. I've now seen your consolation, and I'm ready to go." And that description of that man is a description of a man who is a welcome vessel for the Holy Spirit of God. You notice he's mentioned three times there in verses 25, 26, and 27, the Holy Ghost, and the Spirit of God there. You know, there are some places, just to make it personal, there are some places that you probably feel more comfortable in than others. I mean, we're all people. We have places we like to be that make us comfortable, and other places don't make us so comfortable. And we have things that make us comfortable and things that make us uncomfortable. And that personality and that individual characteristics, those things are part of your creation by God, because God is the same way with that. There are some things that make him comfortable, some things that make him uncomfortable, some places he likes to be and some places he doesn't want to be. When David built the house or prepared the materials, and Solomon built the house, one of the things they were talking about was they were going to prepare a house that the Lord would dwell in. And it wasn't going to be just some shack or some little thing. It was all out. David accumulated the material. He passed it on to Solomon. He had gold. He had silver. He had wood. He had stone. He had ivory. And he had this stuff prepared and ready so that they could build a house for the Lord. And the you get into the New Testament and you find out God dwells in people. And there are some places that God finds comfortable, some places he would rather be, and some places he would rather not be. And so it is when he finds a vessel like Simeon, the Bible says Simeon is just, he's devout, he's waiting on the consolation of Israel. Simeon is a great welcome vessel for the Holy Spirit of God. He is a vessel that the Holy Spirit of God can come upon and be, I don't know how else to put it to make sense, but a vessel that God can be a part of. God can come upon him and be comfortable there and be at home there, and he's a prepared vessel, I guess you could say it that way. And so the Bible describes Simeon this way. It says, "And behold, there's a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon. The same man was just and devout, waiting for the consolation of Israel." And then the colon there is a definition there. The Holy Ghost was upon him. So here's three things in that sentence about the Holy Ghost being upon him. He's waiting for the consolation of Israel. And in waiting, it's not like he's inactive or he's just sitting around and doing nothing. the way he's waiting is he's just and he's devout. He's dedicated. Devotion means he's dedicated. He is consistently pouring himself into the things of God as best he knows how. With the light he's been given, he is pouring himself into those things. And that is the way the Bible describes he's waiting. He's dedicated. He's devoted. So when the Bible says we wait on the Lord Jesus Christ, for instance, you're waiting. That doesn't mean we're sitting around and just doing our, you know, TV watching and things like that. The way the Bible describes waiting, it's like serving tables, like a waiter, or it's someone who is actively participating in the coming of Jesus Christ. And I know we can't, we're not going to make him come back or anything like that. But if someone, if you're expecting someone to come, if like him or hate him or whatever, if President Trump sent you a letter that he was going to show up at your house, I imagine there were some things you would probably do a little bit differently. That you might change some things, you might organize some things, you might just do a little bit differently. Maybe you wouldn't, I don't know. I think you would, though. I think you would probably get out of your pajamas and you would probably do something different. And so that's our president. And here we're waiting on Jesus Christ. So what I'm trying to, the point is, waiting is an activity. It's an activity. It's something that you're constantly doing. Simeon, he's actively preparing himself to see what God has prepared for Israel. And the way he's doing that, he has devoted himself to the things of God. And the Bible also says he's a just man. Just meaning he doesn't want, when the Lord shows up, to be found on the wrong side of God, where he's lied to people and he's been crooked with his business, or he's destroyed relationships, or his marriage is messed up, or whatever the case is. He's just. He's trying to live the right life so that when he sees the consolation of Israel, he will be in good standing. The whole point of this is this. Waiting is an activity that Simeon is trying to do. So he's just. And the Bible says he is devout. Two things, just and devout. Deals with his character. The Bible talks about Joseph. Remember Joseph and Mary? Joseph, it was said, Joseph is a just man. And when he found out about Mary, he didn't want to make a public spectacle of her, and he didn't know the whole situation. He didn't know all the information. He knew a little bit of it, and he knew it didn't look good. But he didn't want to make a big deal out of it. He just wanted to kind of push this thing aside so that it wasn't a spectacle to everybody. And it didn't put Mary in a bad light. He wasn't vindictive. He wasn't hateful. He just wanted the thing to kind of go away. And just he didn't want to drag this out and be bitter about it. And the Bible says he was just. That's Simeon. He's just. And he's devout. It's interesting, that word just. In 1 John, the Bible says, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and what? Just to forgive us our sins. Now, we don't want the justice of God. Well, that's an interesting thought, that forgiveness is tied to his justice. That it would be unjust for someone who is begging and pleading for forgiveness to be turned away by it. It would be unjust for someone who is coming seeking reconciliation for God to say, no, I don't want to reconcile. I'm not interested in that. So the Bible uses that word. I always thought that was interesting how he used that word. In the same context with forgiveness, because we always often put justice and forgiveness in two different ends of the spectrum. Well, I don't want God's justice, I want his forgiveness. Well, the Bible says he's faithful and just to forgive. That's a little bit different take on justice then. And so here's Simeon. He is a welcome vessel for the Holy Ghost to come and dwell in, to be upon. He is faithful, he's just, he's devout, and he is actively seeking the consolation of Israel. All right, here's a couple of verses about waiting. The Bible says this. It says, commit thy way unto the Lord, trust also in him, and he shall bring it to pass. You commit your way to the Lord. I think sometimes we determine our way. We find out our way doesn't work. And then we start trying to commit some things to the Lord after we've already determined the way we're going to go. And so we start moving in a certain direction, and then we start looking back and saying, Lord, come with me and bless what I'm doing. Instead of committing and devoting, like Simeon's devoted, he has committed his life to finding and to seeing the consolation of Israel. And so he is, just like the Proverbs said, commit thy way unto the Lord, trust also in him. He shall bring it to pass. And it's a great application here, because that's exactly what happened to Simeon. He had committed himself to the consolation of Israel. He had asked the Lord if he could just see the consolation of Israel, which would be Jesus Christ, and then he's ready to die. And the Bible says, commit thy way unto the Lord, trust also in him, he shall bring it to pass. The Bible also says in Proverbs, he says, commit thy works unto the Lord, and thy thoughts shall be established. That's Simeon. So he is all in all. You see that phrase, or the work of the Holy Ghost on him, what's revealed to him, we'll deal with that in just a second. But he is a welcome vessel where God, I don't know how else to say it, where God feels comfortable to be around this man. And God is satisfied and God is happy with this man, and God is going to fulfill this man's prayer. Second thing is this, in verse 26, notice the Holy Ghost also, because of God's approval of this vessel, of Simeon, he's going to reveal something to him. Verse 26 says, and it was revealed unto him by the Holy Ghost that he should not see death before he had seen the Lord's Christ. So here's the Holy Ghost. He's upon him in verse 25. And now he's revealing a promise to him, an assurance. And that so aptly describes the Holy Ghost. The Holy Ghost shows up. He is the promise of God. If you're saved, you've received what the Bible calls the Spirit of promise. You have the Holy Ghost in you. And that is God's promise to you, that he will one day take the outside and make it like we said before, make it like what's on the inside. He's the Spirit of promise. He gives him assurance. He gives him confidence. And so the Holy Ghost reveals to Simeon that this thing is not, you're not going to die until this happens. So it is revealed because it's revealed to him because he's looking for the consolation of Israel. I'd say, you know, people looking for Jesus Christ get answers. They get confidence, they get assurance. And then notice this about the Holy Spirit in verse 27. He leads him. Verse 27 says, and he came by the Spirit into the temple. So, verse 25, the Holy Ghost is upon him. Verse 26, the Holy Ghost reveals something to him. Verse 27, now the Holy Spirit is leading Simeon in the very steps he's taken. And so Simeon's path is now going to cross paths with Jesus Christ. That is a great description of the work of the Holy Spirit of God. He is trying to get people to cross paths with Jesus Christ. And you know, you find many times, I mean, out in the world, even with us as Christians, but lost folks, it's so difficult to find a place where Jesus Christ crossed paths with our lives, with our decision. Now, you guys are here on Sunday night. Jesus Christ is crossing your path. You have an opportunity to open up the words of God. We pray together. We sing together. And you give the Holy Spirit an opportunity to do something with that. But the Spirit of God would lead Simeon to Jesus Christ. He says in verse 27, "And he came by the Spirit into the temple. And when the parents brought in the child Jesus to do for him after the custom of the law, then took he him up in his arms and blessed God and said, 'Lord, now lettest thou thy servant depart in peace according to thy word.'" I mean, I just see the picture here. I can just imagine this thing. Here's Simeon, older man. He's been waiting. He's been devoted. He has been actively serving the Lord. And now he comes into the temple and he just believes. Just another day at the temple. And he goes into the temple and he sees Jesus Christ as a baby. And I mean, he knows, this is what I've been waiting for. This is the one I've been waiting for. And he picks up that baby and he holds that baby up. And he says, "Lord, now lettest thou thy servant depart in peace according to thy word. I have now seen what I need to see. You've answered my prayer. I know now beyond a shadow of a doubt, you have sent the hope of Israel here. This baby is going to grow up. He is your child. He's going to grow up. His life will be difficult. His parents' life will be difficult. His life will end in tragedy, but ultimately it will, I shouldn't say end in tragedy, he'll die, but then he'll rise again." What a great, great picture Simeon is here. Holding Jesus Christ in his arms. And then he says this. Verse 33, Joseph and Mary look at this whole situation and they're still, I mean, I can't imagine what's going through their minds, but they're still trying to take in everything that's happening around this baby. I mean, Mary's had baby Jesus and she's a virgin, so there's no man involved in this. And now Joseph understands a little bit about what's going on here. And now there's these all these things happening. The shepherds have shown. I mean, this thing is there's a lot of activity around this baby that's just not normal. And I know they're trying to figure all this out. And they go into the temple to perform the law, the custom with the baby with Jesus. And now Simeon shows up, and Simeon takes the baby up and holds him up and says, "Now I've seen what I need to see." And the Bible says this about Mary and Joseph, verse 33. "And Joseph and his mother marveled at those things which were spoken of him." And I imagine Simeon, he sees their puzzled or considering look here. And he says this in verse 34. "And Simeon blessed them and said unto Mary his mother, 'Behold, this child is set for the fall and rising again of many in Israel.'" Can you imagine that? I mean, I try to imagine something like that, you know, where you've got a newborn baby. You've had all this activity around this baby. The baby was born without a man involved. When he was born, he's born he's placed in a manger. These angels told these shepherds, and the shepherds showed up, and the angels were singing, and all these things going on. The wise men haven't yet showed up. This is earlier on. And they take him to the temple, and Simeon says what he says, and then Joseph and Mary are still puzzled with all this thought, thinking about it. And Simeon says, "Behold, this child is set for the fall and rising again of many in Israel." What? What does that mean? Set for the fall. What? "This child is set for the fall and rising again of many in Israel, and for a sign which shall be spoken against." You know what the fall and the rising again is? I think you know what that is. That's a resurrection. A fall and a rising again. And then he says, if you didn't understand it the first time, he says it's a sign which shall be spoken against. People are going to speak against this. You remember when Jesus Christ resurrects from the dead, the Jews, it is incredible the level of depravity the human heart can achieve. You have a man who has beat death, given his life, and crucified on a cross, and then resurrected out of a grave, and then these religious people set out to try to continue to destroy his life. I mean, you would think, if the world was normal, that people would be so in awe of a resurrection, they would just, "Wow, how can anyone do this? He resurrected from the dead. Let's find this man. Let's worship this. He can beat death." But they don't. The Jews go about and they start paying off soldiers to tell people that the disciples stole the body, and they go out and they try to concoct a story. And Simeon said it when Jesus was born. He said, "He's set for the rise and the fall of many in Israel, and a sign which shall be spoken against." A resurrection, you would think, under normal circumstances, that would be the thing that would get everybody's attention. But the human mind, the human heart is so wicked, so depraved. In light of the resurrection, people still are haters of God. They still want to figure out, how can I get this man back into a grave? A sign which shall be spoken against. You know, and then he's going to describe this. As we just described it here, you know, that resurrection should be the thing that would seal the deal. But watch what he says. Verse 35. "Yea, a sword shall pierce through thine own soul also, that the thoughts of many hearts may be revealed." You know what that did? That resurrection, that just revealed the hearts of mankind. He said, Paul said it in Romans chapter 2. He said, "The gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ," he said, "who will one day judge the hearts of men according to my gospel." That's the thing. We can talk about the great teachings of Jesus and you know, be a good person and, you know, be a good citizen and things like that. But nothing reveals man's hearts like the resurrection of Jesus Christ and the fact that one day, Jesus Christ resurrected from the dead, and one day that man will be the judge of every single soul. He says over there in Acts, he says, He was resurrected from the dead, and one day that Jesus Christ, he did that as a how does he say it? He says, as an assurance to all men that one day he's coming back to judge the hearts of men. Interesting though, Simeon had that thing figured out. I don't know anyone else that had it understood. Even when Jesus Christ goes to the cross, the disciples that had been with him for years, 3 years, even tried to get him to, you know, Peter pulls him aside and says, this isn't a good idea. I mean, you shouldn't do it this way. And Jesus Christ turns around and he says, get thee behind me, Satan. Thou savorest not the things of God, but the things of men. Even the disciples didn't understand that. You know, and to think, I know people have said this, you know, people in the Old Testament are looking forward to the cross, and people in the New Testament are looking back at the cross. Nobody in the Old Testament was looking forward to the cross. Not even the disciples. In fact, the only person that you can read about in the entire Bible, I think, that had maybe some understanding of what was going on was Simeon. And Simeon sees the baby, sees Jesus Christ as a baby, and he has been given a promise. He's not going to die until he sees the consolation of Israel. And once he sees the consolation of Israel, he says, I'm ready to go. I've seen what I need to see. Man, if our lives could be anything like Simeon's life, I just want to see Jesus Christ. Boy, if I can just see him, that's what I need. I don't need another game to watch. I don't need another movie to watch. I don't need another thing to play. I don't need another game to play. If I can just see Jesus Christ in this thing. Boy, Simeon is an incredible man. And because of the person that Simeon is, and I don't want to say salvation by works. It's not salvation by works, but Simeon has a character. He is the caliber of individual that God is happy with. He's devout. He's waiting on the Lord. He's just. He has devoted his life to the things of God, and because of that, God has given him promises. God has given him assurances. And God has fulfilled his desire. And in doing so, Simeon is he is given a revelation about what's going to happen with Jesus Christ. He passes it on to Mary and Joseph. And this is really all you hear about him. You don't hear about him anymore. But I would say if there's anybody that maybe understood what was going to happen with the life of Jesus Christ, it was this man, Simeon. What an individual. What an individual. Let's do this. Let's pray. I'll pray for the food. But I think if you haven't never heard anything about Simeon before, hopefully you've learned some things tonight about him. And if we could live our lives anything like a man, Simeon would be a good example to follow. Father, thank you so much for your words. Lord, thank you for your soul that's here. Father, I pray that, I thank you for the food we're about to eat. Pray that folks would have a good time with family this year, and Christmas coming up, and gifts being exchanged and all those things. I pray we wouldn't get lost in all of the things going on. Forget about why Jesus Christ came to this earth. Think about men like Simeon who waited and waited and waited. And finally saw the salvation of God Almighty in Jesus Christ. And that was enough. That was the satisfaction of their life. That was the satisfaction of his life. Lord, thank you so much for your words. Thank you again for everybody that's here tonight. I pray everybody be blessed for being here. Pray we'd all learn what we need to learn from all this. And I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.